Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
And all you'd ever hear me say is how I picture me with you. That's all you'd ever hear me say. But since you've been gone, I can't breathe.
Northwest Florida is different. We have our own time zone. It is not the same time in Northwest Florida as it is in Tallahassee. And it is also culturally different. It is more rural. It is smaller in population. And it has only one or two cities, really, major cities. We also are a huge military. We have five military installations in our region, and a great proportion of our population is military related.
So at the Higher Education Appropriations Committee last week, you had people show up to talk about the nominees that the governor had put in, that the Board of Governors had put in. The three Board of Governors appointees were not particularly controversial, but Adam Kissel, who has been controversial, and that was Judy Bentz, former president of UWF and a dear friend and a wonderful woman, traveled all the way over to Tallahassee to speak about what UWF is and what this slate of appointments, including Scott Yenner, is doing to the university, or promises or threatens to do the university. And she started off by explaining, you know, hey, we're different. Military town, in the central time zone.
And what about our trustees? The trustees for the University of West Florida have always been from the region, or as a native, as a resident, or certainly as an alum from the University of West Florida. All of the other trustees on the list today to be confirmed are from their own region. Ours is the only region that has five trustee nominees from outside the region with no connection to the University of West Florida.
And that's five that were on the list to be confirmed. One, Gates Garcia, wasn't even there. They didn't do him. But the other three also not really from here. But yeah, the other schools that were on the list, you know, to have their people confirmed, University of North Florida, FIU, FSU, Florida Gulf Coast, FAMU, UCF. All those people are from those areas. They all know these universities. It's just that we are uniquely, you know, what, being punished or something, you know, right? And that's definitely weird. And we are growing. We don't need to be rebuilt. Like maybe New College needed to be rebuilt. We don't need that.
The effect of the seven nominees that have been that are up for confirmation has been chilling on the University of West Florida. It has been chilling to our population. Donations have come to a screeching halt. They think the worst is going to happen, and they have good reason to think that.
And not just donations, but students?
Students enrolled for the fall are leaving. They're canceling their enrollment, and they're going somewhere else because they don't trust what's going to happen at the University of West Florida with eight new voting trustees, all of who voted for Mr. Yenner to be their chair, and by their vote, supported his opinions.
I don't know that they supported his opinions, but it is definitely a concern that they all voted to put him on, you know, in the chairmanship, and that's what's got people scared, is because they don't know what this means. And if they're all going to vote in lockstep to support Scott Yenner, and they're fearful about the things that he believes, I think somewhat inaccurately characterized, frankly, by sort of cherry-picking quotes from him that definitely are concerning out of context, and even in context are not great. We talked about this quite a bit last week. But still, it's understandable that people are freaked out based on the information that they have, and the community is, I mean, as Don Gates, the you know, the chair of the Ethics and Elections Committee that'll hear this maybe this week or next week, you know, he said, I've never managed to do anything in my 30 years tenure in public service to unite all of Northwest Florida, and yet here we are. Everybody is in agreement about this. I would say I'm in agreement with some asterisks, but okay.
The community is upset. The community is worried. We are a community driven, community-related university, more so than those that are in large cities.
Yeah, and the community is, I mean, you know, if you go just talk to people, they're talking about this and they're freaked out.
The community is very upset. It's all that people are talking about. Why are they doing this to us? Why is this happening to them? They feel it personally, they feel it politically, and they feel it financially.
Because just like the Blue Angels are our team, you know, the UWF is our school. It is. It's a different relationship. You know, a lot of times when you go to a university, the town and the university are at odds with each other. It's very common. You know, almost to the point where you, like historically, maybe not as much these days, but, you know, you kind of have fights. And if the townies and the college students show up at the same bar, you know, that's a problem. It's just not like that here. I mean, so many people are graduates of UWF. I put two kids at the UWF, one still and, you know, one just graduated, right? But the troubling notes continue. Judy Bentz again.
Property gifts. One of our residents has historical properties, for example, and he wants to give them to the university and to keep them historic, open to the public, and he is just taking them off that because he's worried that the value we place right now and have been at the university on historic preservation is going to go away. It's not predictable. It's beginning to be very unstable.
And a couple of others came over from Pensacola. I'll share their comments and then what the Senate committee talked about in connection with all this in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still dealing with that accident on Mobile Highway in West 9 Mile Road. They've got it off to the side of the road, but I'm still seeing some delays on Mobile Highway there. Highway 90 is looking good if you're coming from Pace into Pensacola and seeing some minor delays on 98 just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Suzanne Lewis, who's a 14-year trustee, traveled over there and she said, you need to be local because that's going to shape your opinions and the way you vote about things and your understanding of the issues that are connected to UWF. And she's right. Okay. Generally speaking, she's right. Jean Godwin, who we had on the radio, she says, look, everybody else is getting trustees from everywhere. We're the ones being asked to take them from out of our area. It's not fair. And then Chuck Harris, I don't know who he is. He may be well known, and I'm sorry, I don't know. But he says,
Chairman Yainer's statements alone make West Florida a less welcoming place to women and other minorities. And currently, we sit with a full board of trustees who put him as the chairman. On that fact alone, it shows that their judgment is not strong enough to continue the growth and prosperity that the University of West Florida helps our area have. So on those merits alone, this slate, none of them should be confirmed.
So there's different issues depending on which person you're talking about. One view is that they should all be disqualified because they all voted for Scott Yainer. On the very first meeting, with very little, it wasn't no discussion, but with very little discussion, knowing that he's highly controversial and not even addressing that issue. And even if he weren't controversial, a brand new appointee should not be the chair of the board, period. That's crazy. And for them to all put him up makes it seem like they were put up to put him up, right? Like, that seems very clear, and all the worries about this being a new college part two or something like that, I understand. So there is an argument to be made that no matter what their other qualifications, the fact that they all conspired, agreed, whatever, you know, hostile takeover, whatever you want to think of it, put Scott and Rebecca up to be the chair and the vice chair, that itself is disqualifying. The effect on the community is a concern. It seems to mean that the vote is disqualifying. But then you also have questions about each individual one, right? And then, you know, you start talking about Scott Yainer or not, and you start talking about, you know, Rachel Moya or Rebecca Matthews as some of the particular potentials. And I think, okay, my view is that if it were one person and they were from out of the area, that wouldn't be such a big deal. If there was one person and they were relatively new to Florida, that wouldn't be such a big deal. As long as the other ones had great connections. But when you put eight in, I think seven of whom at least have almost no connection to here, it almost doesn't matter what anybody's individual abilities are. You kind of almost want to just say no to all of them on principle. And I get that. But again, my own view, particularly of Adam Kissel, is that if he were the only one that were being put up and everybody else was an uncontroversial, local, well-known, all of this, I wouldn't object to him because I think he brings a lot of ideas to the table. And I think he's answered the objections about him. But that's not the situation we're faced with. And so I'm very sympathetic to the vote them all down mindset. I'm just saying that if I'm voting on them individually, I'm probably voting everybody down except for Adam Kissel, because I think he said some things that I just think are, you know, very, very good. But okay, so the conversation in the Senate, you have Carlos Guillermo Smith, who is a Democrat.
It's important we also have folks from the community, certainly in the panhandle, represented in what is very much a community public university at the University of West Florida. And so I'm not comfortable seeing Mr. Kissel serve in this role, and I will be voting against this nominee. Thank you.
Yeah, Senator Tracy Davis says because of their – she's a black Democrat. Because of their connection to Project 2025 and the Heritage Foundation, she says no. Alexis Calatayud says that the defunding of public universities – de-emphasizing higher education over career academies and things like that, and technical education was disqualifying for her. She's a Republican. Jay Trumbull, who's from the Panhandle.
UWF is different. It is a different institution compared to other institutions within our state. As you have seen, we had multiple individuals come up today and say that it's almost akin to a community school. And unfortunately, the community has come out against two individuals specifically, but maybe more so the overarching group.
Yeah, that's Scott Yenner and Adam Kissel. He's saying, and look, UWF is unique. He was troubled by Judy Bence's comments about people, you know, leaving or losing, you know, contributions. And by the way, District 2 that Jay Trumbull represents is like the bottom half of Okaloosa County over to Bay County. So it's like, other than Don Gates, he's our closest senator, right?
As a member, as a person that represents the Panhandle, who's grown up in the Panhandle, I struggle with the fact that there are only two, currently, only two trustees who even live in the Central Time Zone, maybe three trustees who live in the Central Time Zone on the UWF board. And because it's a unique institution, I think that that should be taken into account in the future. Thank you.
It most definitely should, and even in the current, I mean, that's an issue. Again, if it were just one, like let's say there were, I don't know, you know, the one vacancy, and then they put up Adam Kissel or Jennifer, Rachel Moya or something like that. You know, if they're fantastic qualified people, that's fine. But even somebody who's been here a long time, I mean, I use the example of like me. Okay, I've been here 11 years. I'm not from here. I didn't go to UWF, but I have a student who graduated, another student, you know, who's there, and probably another third is going to go. I have a master's degree, not a doctorate. I feel like I'm sort of marginally qualified. If they wanted me on the board, I think I'd probably bring good ideas there, but okay. But what if they put me up for the board of FAMU or UCF? What if the governor called me and said, I want you to be on the board of trustees for University of South Florida? What? You know? And some of these folks are from Tallahassee or Tampa or out of the state entirely. It's weird. It's super weird. You know, that's an odd thing to put up. By the way, actually, the person you probably want is my wife because she's been so connected with the education for the kids. I mean, she knows the ins and outs of what both PSC and UWF do well and poorly because she's worked with them so closely and getting like my wife would be great on this board. Anyway, also 11 years here. Of course, I taught philosophy 11 years, so I guess I've got some connection to higher education, you know, whatever. But anyway, Jennifer Bradley says she's just another senator. She's a Republican. It's troubling that they elected Scott Yenner without much discussion. They should make better decisions for the community in the future. And eventually what they voted was they voted down. They voted down on Scott Yenner. They voted 6-1 against him, and they voted 5-2 in favor of Rebecca Matthews, Rachel Moya, and Ashley Ross, the only two who voted against for the Democrats. So now that doesn't kill his nomination. He's still got the Ethics and Elections Committee. We'll see what happens there. That's Don Gates. But my favorite comment of the day, although I liked a lot of what Judy Bence had to say, my favorite comment of the day actually came after they had approved them. And this was the chair, Gail Harrell.
And I would like to say to the individual board members that have been recommended, please listen to the comments that were made today concerning independence as board members, thinking about the community that is Northwest Florida. I have a lot of family there, and we will be watching.
We will be watching. Good. Good. So what's going to actually happen with these nominees? Uncertain. The law is weird. The governor can appoint them even if they're not confirmed. It's weird. The whole thing is weird how this is possible. They're working on legislation to fix that. But that's what was done in the Senate in the first of two committees last week. 724 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. If you have a business, you have employees, you have to deal with employee benefits, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resource management, HR, you know, payroll, all that. I think I said two things, the same thing. But, you know, payroll, okay? And maybe you don't love to do that, which is understandable because I would not love to do that. That's the red tapey kind of stuff that I would hate in running a business. You got into business to build things, fix things, install things, repair things, give people professional advice, whatever, not probably to manage benefits. So call Torgerson and Causey. They're great at this. They love it. That's what they got into business to do because they're so good at it and they like doing it. We've been using them here at News Radio and Cat Country for about 4 years, and they have been great. Gave us options we didn't have before. I mean, they're not miracle workers. They got to go by what's available in the world. But, you know, they do the best with what is available. They find stuff that gives us, you know, better plans we would have had, better even choices that we didn't have. And they're great at customer service, great at following up and answering questions and getting us the information we need. And, again, that comes from, you know, philosopher Andrew and engineer Danielle, who ask a lot of questions. 433-9996 for Torgerson Causey, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're traveling on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest, from 9 Mile to Pine Forest, you're going to see some major delays, about a 10 to 15 minute delay through that construction zone. But once you get past Pine Forest, it actually looks good. Let's see here. If you're traveling Highway 29 southbound headed toward 9 Mile Road, you'll notice that there's about a 7 to 9 minute delay associated with that. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Here's a question for Christians. What year was it that you were saved? I'm asking, when were you converted to Christ? And I'm not asking, when were you baptized or when did you receive the Lord's Supper? I'm not asking about religious works that you have done, but I'm asking you, when did you receive the work that Christ has done for you? When was it that you were convicted about your sin? When was it that you called on Christ to save you from the consequences of your sin? When did you seek God's forgiveness? For me, it was June of 1988. When was it for you? If you have never received Christ's forgiveness, the Bible says today is the day of salvation.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Guilty. Guilty. Guilty.
Judgment on General Zod. 728 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, quick note, because of the weather that is, I don't know, a wave of horrors, horrors, that is, stretching from almost Houston up to, gosh, like Knoxville. Like, it's all, and the front of that is all like lightning and thunder and some circulation. There's a little tornado circulating thing over in Mississippi. So we are under a thunderstorm watch until 1 o'clock today. And this, we're a 3 out of the 5 zone for this weather that's going to get here in about 3 hours or so. And the only reason I bring this up, in addition to all of that, taking a look at the News Radio ThreatNet radar and how vivid the storm looks, is if you're flying today, check your board, check your text, you know, make sure to check your app, whatever you use, because a lot of flights are either delayed or canceled because of the weather coming and affecting flights that are coming from the west or going to the west or the north. So just, you know, be sure you check in, because it might not be what you think it is. Let's see. David Wayne is out today. Steve Taylor is in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
President Trump says this coming Wednesday will be our Liberation Day as new tariffs are set to take effect. He's calling that day Liberation Day, claiming the tariffs against Canada, Mexico, China, and the European Union will undo decades of those powers, taking advantage of the U.S. in his quotes. He also says he's not joking about serving for a potential third term. During a phone call with NBC News, he was asked about joking multiple times about serving 3 times, to which he replied, "That's not a joke." And he also claims he has the highest poll numbers of any Republican for the last 100 years. And egg prices are dropping as chicken flocks are beginning to recover from the bird flu. Average wholesale price of a dozen eggs was $3 last week, down from a record $8.15 in February. And that's what's happening.
All right. Thanks so much, Steve. And by the way, some folks are saying that you is completely ineligible to serve again. That's what we've always assumed. But if you read the amendment, it says cannot be elected a third time. And there's nothing else in the Constitution, even the 12th Amendment, that disqualifies him if he goes through the sort of like appointments approved by Congress to be vice president, that kind of stuff. So there's a weird way it could happen.
I'm Chris Foster. President Trump says Ukraine's President Zelensky has big problems if he backs out of a rare earth minerals deal, and he's angry with Russia's President Putin.
When he considers Zelensky not credible, he's supposed to be making a deal with him.
Putin wants negotiations with a new temporary Ukrainian administration. Far-right French leader Marine Le Pen is banned from seeking public office for 5 years, so no 2027 presidential race.
Marine Le Pen and 8 other current or former lawmakers with her National Rally Party have been found guilty of embezzlement. She didn't wait to hear how long the ban would be for, dramatically walking out of the courthouse and into a waiting car.
Fox's Jonathan Savage is also a 4-year prison term with 2 years suspended. It's all pending appeal. Le Pen keeps her current seat in the French National Assembly. She's run for president 3 times before. The convictions are for stealing funds from the European Union. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning at 7:31, 71 degrees right now with a severe thunderstorm watch in effect until 1 p.m. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. The body of a missing 50-year-old boater who fell overboard on Friday night was recovered. Gulf Breeze police reported that the recovery was made Saturday night. A call reporting that incident along the 1200 block of Soundview Trail in Gulf Breeze came about 8:20 p.m. on Friday. That's the road that runs along the sound overlooking Pensacola Beach. Santa Rosa County officials say the man fell off of the boat in the Intracoastal Waterway, and windy conditions made that search difficult for the several agencies who were searching for him. Santa Rosa County says the man was in his 50s and not wearing a life jacket when he fell off the boat. Streets were flooded as heavy rain poured down in parts of Northwest Florida yesterday, which led to a flash flood warning yesterday. Some travelers were stuck in their vehicles as they became submerged in the floodwaters. Preliminary reports of storm damage include a tree which fell on a backyard shed, and water made its way down the stairs in Dillard's, flooding the shoe department. A strong cold front is on the move, and it'll bring a chance of strong thunderstorms again later on this morning. We are under that severe thunderstorm watch until 1. Florida gas prices seesawed last week after falling to a 15-month low of $2.96 a gallon last Monday. The state average bounced back up to 19 cents, bounced back up 19 cents a gallon to $3.15 a gallon by last Thursday. That's 8 cents less than the highest daily average price this year. Yesterday's state average price for gasoline was $3.11 a gallon. That's 14 cents more than a week ago and about the same as a month ago, and 49 cents a gallon less than this time last year. In Escambia County, the average per gallon looks about $2.96. A low of $2.74 is available at a station on West 9 Mile Road. In North Escambia, the low price was $2.85 at a couple of stations along Highway 29. Kids in need in the Panhandle may get a good night's sleep thanks to some volunteers. About 100 people from Perdido Bay Methodist Church took part yesterday in a bed-building event in Pensacola. The Sleep in Heavenly Peace Pensacola event is held for kids in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. About 40 beds were made yesterday, and they'll be delivered at a later date. With those storms coming, let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
Severe storms possible ahead of a strong cold front that will be trekking across northwest Florida as we head into our morning and the early afternoon. Damaging wind gusts will be our primary threat. The tornado risk is low, but not zero. Be sure you're staying weather aware all the way through the early afternoon hours. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell, your WEAR First Warning Weather Update.
And right now, let's check in with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your premium and landscaping needs. Got an accident on West Detroit Boulevard and Fowler Avenue. The road is blocked at this time, so you definitely want to use caution with that. Also, on I-10 eastbound, hold on, let me pull it back up. There's a road ranger and a state trooper helping a lady change a tire just past the Pine Forest, which is causing the delays between 9 Mile and Pine Forest on I-10 eastbound. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks, John. Right now, 71 degrees at Pensacola, 70 degrees at Gulf Breeze, and 71 in Milton at 735. The next news is at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
The first years of school are crucial for your child's development. At Pensacola Christian Academy, students thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation for your child. Kindergartners become confident readers, grow fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 7:37 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Last week we had Gay Valamont on. She is the Democrat candidate for Congressional District 1, the seat vacated by Matt Gaetz when he was tapped to be AG, which of course did not work out. But tomorrow we have an election. There's some writing candidates, but the primary two candidates are Gay Valamont for the Democrats and Jimmy Patronis, the current CFO for the state of Florida. He is on the line with us now. Mr. Patronis, Jimmy, Chief, I don't know what to call you exactly, but welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. Jimmy? I got to turn his phone on. There we go. Sorry about that, Jimmy. Go ahead. Welcome back to the show, sir.
I said, I like Jimmy. Jimmy's just fine.
All right, perfect.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I didn't ask you what music you like. You said surprise me. At first, I was going to go Beyonce, and then I thought, you can't go wrong with Eric Clapton. We'll just do that. So let's get just a detailed question. It's not so much about your candidacy, but it is relevant. Your last day as CFO is today. How are you enjoying your last day? And B, has the governor named somebody to replace you yet?
No, he is not. I have not talked to the governor in a couple weeks. And look, it's his decision to make. My concern is it's a very important job. There's the company. It's got skilled people that keep the trains running on time. But at the end of the day, if somebody wants a paycheck, the governor's got to appoint a CFO because there's not a signature on file after midnight tonight to sign the checks.
Wow. Well, okay, that's not ideal. I know you had said recently, I think you were talking to our afternoon guys about how, you know, you wanted there to be some overlap so you could train the new person, and I agree with that, so seems like not the best way to go, but okay, fair enough. So a lot of things in this election, you know, a lot of things related to you. And, of course, you know, your ad campaign has primarily been, largely been, about President Trump's endorsement, which, of course, he endorsed you. So I figured it'd be worthwhile to talk about, since you're going to be in Congress, you're theoretically the check and balance against the presidency, you know, things where you might agree or disagree with the president and kind of where you stand on this. How about the Department of Education? He cannot close it, but he's trying to close it. Cannot do that without congressional approval. What's your perspective as a potential congressman?
Well, and when I looked at what he's proposed with the Department of Education is carving out some of those essential programs and putting them in other silos that actually kind of complement them. So school lunch programs, some of those different programs that are there, moving them and establishing them. But look, I think he is trying to do exactly what he's done the campaign trail. He's trying to eliminate some of the bureaucracy that is there that maybe needs to be reevaluated, and if nothing else. So this is no different than what he's done at the southern border. You know, the threats that he has made publicly with whatever he has expressed towards the cartels or rebuilding the wall or the fight to Mexico, it has created such a verbal deterrent that the traffic has come to a crawl, okay? And at the same time, those men and women standing guard on the border actually know that there's somebody in Washington, D.C. that has their back. Buddies of mine that are Border Patrol said, especially back during started in the Obama administration, it was like, hands off, don't touch anybody. So just being able to know you have a commander-in-chief that wants to be a commander-in-chief, that wants to lead, that wants to give you the known strength there behind you when you're doing your job, goes a long ways for those guys doing their job.
On tariffs, which has obviously been a major news item for several weeks now, we're about ready on Wednesday to put in even higher tariffs on auto imports. Other tariffs are already in place. The administration keeps calling them tax cuts. There is no universe in which a tariff is a tax cut. I don't know why they keep saying that. But what's your perspective on tariffs? Do you believe they're tax cuts? What do you think of the way the president's handling this issue?
You know, I think just like when they rolled out the department, they talked about instead of the department, the IRS, it was going to be the External Revenue Office. I think the president has gone back and looked at all these different ways that we've been doing business, and we're all scratching our head of how we have a disadvantage moving our products into other nations. And it's just the type of tax they levy on a U.S. product when it makes dockage at any of those ports. So, you know, he's pushing back. You know, he's definitely looking for other forms of revenue that aren't a direct tax to the citizens of the United States. So where you have our countries that have been a beneficiary of it, and look, I'm sure there's some diplomatic goods that goes from allowing them to do that. But some of those things is enough's enough. It's time for us to sit down and revisit how we're doing business with you. And you know what? In some cases, you've seen most recently in Canada and in Mexico, where, you know, his willingness to go there has brought them to the table with more resources at the border to try to push back on the fentanyl problem that we've got. So, I mean, I think this is all part of his strategy. And at some point, somebody will blink, but I doubt it'll be President Trump.
Yeah, he's not much of a blinker, apologizer. Oh, I had that wronger. You know, that's not really so much his thing. Speaking of, you kind of mentioned about the border and some other things and tariffs, obviously we've been talking about, but he's been talking about Canada as the 51st state. He's been talking about Greenland. He's even mentioned, you know, he keeps being willing to disqualify military action to acquire Greenland. Of course, he's talked about Panama, but particularly when it comes to Canada and Greenland and the issue of not ruling out military action, I want to get your thoughts on that. Because again, you know, I mean, God, declarations of war come from Congress, of course, but what's your thought about acquiring Northern Territory or Northeastern Territory?
So with the Northern Territory, I mean, I think what you had an apt weak leader in Justin Trudeau, and the president knew that. He saw this guy as an empty suit that, you know, would bounce around, that's good looking. And, I think President Trump felt like, you know, this guy's got a glass jaw. And so he goes and punches him in the mouth. He gets him to go out there and start having to defend, you know, this claim that Canada's going to be the 51st state. And I think a lot of times, I mean, I think the president truly enjoys making this type of banter. And then the world has to determine whether or not he's telling the truth or not. So, I mean, I think you're going to see that as something. Yeah, look, will he go into the 51st state? Absolutely. You know, will it happen? You know, maybe. You know, I just don't see him going to war to take over Canada. Now, with Greenland, I think Greenland, you've got, again, you've got a Denmark who probably doesn't really, you know, put any investment into Greenland. It's not been something they have ultimately, you know, tried to make a big argument for other than on paper. But I wouldn't be surprised if, I mean, there was somebody was running the math the other day. You should pay every person in Greenland like $2 million and give them health care for life, and you could take over Greenland without shooting a single shot. So I would think anything's on the table simply because there's a national security value to Greenland that I think is legit and real. There's a mineral value to it, too. And look, China, we have been asleep at the wheel over the last 4 years with what China has done to colonize the Caribbean, Africa, the Panama Canal, and the Biden administration just allowed this to go rampant.
No, I totally agree about the minerals. In fact, I was just looking at a map of Greenland, and the perimeter is all, I mean, it's copper, molybdenum, lead, it's strong, you know, it's everything we could possibly want. And, you know, to pull it off would be a pretty nice economic reward. That's the military thing that freaks me out. We're talking to Jamie Petronas. He is for the last day today, the CFO. He is also a candidate of the state of Florida. He is also a candidate for Congressional District 1. The election is tomorrow. Hang on for me, Jamie. Let's get traffic on the fives from John Pickens.
That's right. Just one accident to let you know about on West Detroit Boulevard and Fowler Avenue. The road is still blocked. First responders are on the scene trying to get that out of the way. So pack your patience with that one. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Jamie Petronas. Again, candidate for Congressional District 1. The election is tomorrow. Go vote if you have not voted already. One more on the president that is maybe two more that are kind of entertaining and interesting. The president is talking about maybe wanting to be elected for, well, not elected, but because he can't be elected, but to be president again for a third term in creative ways. Do you believe in term limits? This is a big issue for, you know, conservatives in Northwest Florida. Do you believe in term limits? Should there be term limits on the, you know, for example, on Congress? Do you believe president should be President Trump should be able to be president again for a third term?
So, and holistically, you know, I like term limits. But here's the reality of it. Look, I've been in Tallahassee, and I never sought out being a fixture in Tallahassee. But I do know this. When you have term limits, the deep state gets stronger, at least when you have somebody. So this is kind of a little bit of the checks and balances you have in Washington with it. Now, do you have people up there that need to go? Absolutely. Oh, my God, there's people that need to go. But it's just as we've seen in different election cycles where you get entrenched members of Congress when they stop paying attention to their constituents. Their constituents aren't stupid. Their constituents will throw them out. And it happens every single election cycle. You get an elected out there who really thinks they know better than their own constituents, and their own constituents get fed up with that treatment. It is what it is. I tell people all the time, if you don't hold your electeds accountable, you get the government you deserve. And this is exactly why, you know, I've made a commitment to open up a constituent services office there in Pensacola. You know, it's been crickets out of my opponent about what she wants to do for just giving better constituent services back to the citizens of Escambia County. So, you know, I'm looking forward to hitting the ground running, making a difference. And I tell people, Jimmy Petronas is not a show horse. Jimmy Petronas is a workhorse.
Do you like what you're seeing out of Doge? Is Doge going too far, too fast, doing it just right, going too slow? What's your general take on what's happening? Should Congress be exerting more influence in stopping it?
Well, but here's what's happening. So you get members of Congress that have been just recently elected. I met a member of Congress from a state up north. He was in private business his whole entire life, has never been in government, never been a legislator, never done any of this. These guys don't know where to start. So then when that happens, you know, they're drinking out of a fire hose for the first, you know, year and a half or so. So what DOGE is doing, it is bringing to light. It's almost like a handbook of these are the ways your budget is being proposed and spent in the United States. Me personally, I think it's enlightening to see where these dollars are going. I think it's important that people should have to stand to and defend why these dollars are in the budget the way they are. And, you know, we from time to time have done some really innovative sunset review process. That means, you know, if you can't defend it, it goes away in Tallahassee. We need more of that in D.C. And that's exactly what I think you're going to ultimately see with DOGE. You're going to see, you know, all right, guys, we're going to force you to reauthorize the existence of this particular agency or this particular appropriation. If the government can't defend it, well, you know what? Then it's obvious it needs to go away, because there's a lot that is done for the importance of a single mission at a time and place in our country. And then, you know what? It goes on autopilot because there's nobody there to manage it or champion it anymore. It's like a zombie business.
Last question that relates to President Trump. This may be the most controversial one yet. Are you ready?
Okay.
What do you call the body of water to our south?
Oh, gosh, that's the Gulf of America.
No, Jimmy, no! You know, come on, brother. Come on. Gulf of Mexico.
I hear you.
I see it both ways.
But you know what? Here's what this guy is trying to do. He is trying to make our country great again. He's trying to bring some pride back to it. And so, yeah, look, is he stirring the pot? Absolutely. Is he bending some people's, you know, nose out of joint? Absolutely. At the end of the day, I know this. I know he cares about our country. And this is what I'm going to do. People say, well, gosh, you know, what are you going to do? All you do is keep on talking about President Trump. You know, I'm going to leverage my relationship with President Trump for the betterment of District 1. So when it comes to the resources, the access, the decisions that give us an opportunity to do better, to fix something, you know what? I'm going to use it all day long. That's, you know, that's what you do. You build relationships. And if the president of the United States wants to see Jimmy Petraeus in Congress, by God, I'm going to be a busy person, because I feel like we've got a lot of good to do in Northwest Florida.
Your opponent is very much an advocate of gun restrictions, gun control. I am assuming you are in the other direction, but specific questions, state of Florida, bill filed by Michelle Salzman, would reduce the purchase age for long barrel rifles and shotguns to 18 in Florida. But also at the federal level, we have a restriction on handguns. I think of the handgun as the primary concealed carry weapon, the primary weapon of self-defense in your home. If you go to Congress, are you pushing to get the age? I think we just lost him. Would you grab him again, John? I think he's is he locked in there? Hey, Jimmy, are you there, sir?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
We just lost you for a second.
All right. The 18 versus 21 bill.
Hold on just a second. But specifically for handguns, okay. Also, because at the federal level, you would be in a position to change that law too. Should 18 and 19 year olds be able to purchase handguns and concealed carry, and shotguns and long barrels both?
Yeah, I'm okay at age 18. Here's one thing I think is important, though. I was in the restaurant business for 30 years, and I've seen a lot of these young kids start me at age 16, and now they're in their 30s and 40s, and they're family. And so they go out and they buy guns, and the first thing I demand that they do is go out to a range and go learn how to use it. And unfortunately, a lot of people, they buy a gun, and they have no idea what they've got in their hands, and you see how they handle them. They don't respect them. You know, I grew up since age six shooting a 410 shotgun. So I mean, you need to understand the firepower of what you got, and that's the biggest thing. It's just get in a position where you learn what you've got.
You know, I completely agree with that. So you said 18 is, you're good with 18. Okay, which is what I thought you said at the beginning.
I'm telling you, at age 18. You can go into the Army, you can serve our nation, you can smoke cigarettes, you know, you can't drink. But
right.
But you know what, by God, if you can go serve and protect our country at 18, then I think you should be able to buy a firearm also to defend yourself.
Last question, and I ask you this one just because it's become such a flashpoint here locally. I've been talking about this all day, but I know you don't have control over this, but the UWF Board of Trustees issue where we had so many vacancies and the governor has now filled them with people who do not live here. Okay, and that's a concern. And I mean, to be honest, a lot of people have raised that question about you being very close to the district, but not quite in the district, although you're from the Panhandle. So I want you to address maybe that a little bit, even though you and I talked about that the last time you were on. But your thoughts about the UWF Board of Trustees appointments and maybe talking to a community where you're going to have a lot of influence if you get elected to Congress. What do you think about this?
Look, I think trustees, and I've seen a lot of trustees come and go over my years in Tallahassee. I think trustees should have a tie, a nexus back to the university that they're representing. Whether you're a graduate there, whether you live in that community, whether you're a regional impact, because your trustees should also be there to leverage what the understanding and the needs of the community are based on the curriculum and mission of the university that is servicing that area. So, I mean, if you look at all the different programs at UWF, then you really should have a trustee that it doesn't really hurt when you got a trustee that's a degree of separation somewhere there in the community, somewhere in one of its associated industries or one of its curriculums. And so, you know, but again, appointees to trustees sometimes are in the case of where Governor Sanchez is he's probably seeing a vision or a mission that he wants to change at UWF. And you know, it's brought a lot of concerns because there wasn't a lot of local faces of familiarity in his list. And, you know, and this is why exactly we have the confirmation process in the Senate. That's why you got, you know, people like Senator Don Gates, who is chairing ethics and elections, who will then sit there to be able to help filter all that. If you don't like what you've got there, the great thing about it is you got a great fighter in Don Gates. You need to make sure he knows so these Senate confirmations don't go through, you know, and that's one way you get the appointing authority's attention. Look, they don't want to be embarrassed by their confirmations not going through, but the public needs to engage. And I think this is a wake-up call. It truly is.
Yeah, no, a lot of the community feels very much the same way. Jamie Petronas, he is the CFO for one more day till midnight, but he is a candidate for Congressional District 1. The election is tomorrow. Go out and vote. Jimmy, good luck tomorrow. Thank you for running. I always appreciate when people contend in these things, and good to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, if anybody needs me, email me, jimmy@joinjimmy.com. Please go exercise your right to vote. God bless y'all. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. John Pickens has got traffic for us. John?
That's right. Still working that one accident that happened on Detroit Boulevard and Fowler Avenue. They've got it off to the side of the road, but I'm seeing some delays still. If you're traveling I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29 through that construction zone, you're experiencing about a 5 to 7 minute delay there. Also, if you're approaching the Garcon Point Bridge on 98 going westbound, expect about a 10 to 15 minute delay just due to congestion with that. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
April 12th is the biggest party of the year.
Pensacola Little Theater presents Cabaret of Curiosities, Revelry Reimagined, as the entire building and surrounding block turns into an entertainment complex for one night. The fanciful theme revels in all things magical, mystical, enchanting, and charming as attendees wind through inexplicable oddities. It's an all-inclusive event that includes 6 open bars and culinary art. Don't miss the biggest party of the year.
Get your tickets now at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants, backed by over 200 years of combined experience, has helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share. With 4 powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs. And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies that gives your business an edge. Let's make 2025 a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader, Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station, the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences, or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call me, Jeff Wayne, at 850-262-6000.
When
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, the news radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Lighten up, Francis.
Good morning, 7:59, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. The News Radio ThreatNet radar says storms coming in about 2 or 3 hours, and they're going to be potentially very strong. We are still under a severe thunderstorm. What is it? A thunderstorm watch. I always want to make sure I get the right one because that's a great naming protocol. We have Steve Taylor in the newsroom with a headline for us. Steve?
Well, protesters are out in force at Tesla dealerships across the country over the weekend. More than 200 demonstrations were held on Saturday, what they call a global day of action. And that's what's happening.
Show me you're serious. Strap yourself to a SpaceX rocket launch to stop it.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.